My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, welcome in. It's a Friday. Vibes are going to be better today, I promise. I promise the vibes will be better today. Despite the fact of whatever the hell that was by the Kings last night at Madison Square Garden, which we will talk about momentarily. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Kyle.
Can we start with the A's of Sacramento thing real quick?
Okay.
I'd like to discuss
it. They're the Sacramento A's, Kyle. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they filed the trademarks.
They did file the trademarks.
My guess is they're not planning on changing the name because that would involve like uniform changes and all that jazz. My guess is they're filing trademarks so people like us can't make t-shirts and make money off of it.
Oh, yeah. And so I said it first.
That's what it is.
Hey, they didn't want to say it yesterday. I said it, so I'm going to trademark it.
Dude, you can call it whatever people, like, they're the Sacramento A's.
Yep.
All right. Anyways, vibes are better today. I want to make a couple of things clear because I was a bummer yesterday. One, I got asked in the chat yesterday, and then a couple of people asked me online last night if I would still cover the team, like as a radio person in Sacramento. What is it? Like, yes, man, they're a Major League Baseball team in Sacramento. That's incredible.
Yeah, we're going to
talk about really cool thing.
The Sacramento A's all the time.
That's a really cool thing.
Yes.
And we will talk transactions, and we will talk roster decisions, and when they inevitably trade their best players, we'll discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to act like they don't exist. I'm just not going to root for them. They're not going to be my favorite team.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with Sacramento. That has everything to do with John Fisher.
No, I totally get what you're... And I think it's interesting,
like,
That's
like, all it is.
Kyle and I come at this at two totally points of view. We're both people who grew up A's fans.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyle is someone who spent a lot of his time in the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
where I grew up in the sticks, 2.5 hours away from the Oakland Coliseum.
Right.
So I went to games, but I didn't get to go to games all the time because it was too far. When I was in high school, we would go to games. My uncle took me and all my cousins to a game,
right.
My first game. When I lived in Berkeley, I went to games all the time.
Sure.
But it's like one of those things that I would do a couple of times a year as opposed to all the time because I don't live anywhere near it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So when they moved closer to me, like my initial thought was if it was going to be a permanent situation, I actually think it's a good happy medium, mm-hmm. between losing the team completely,
mm-hmm.
having them go to Las Vegas or having them come closer, then to me it's like, okay, well, at least they're not leaving.
Yeah.
Of course they probably are going to leave, but we don't know that yet. I just think that, like, you and I both have a different point of view on it because
yeah.
we have kind of a different upbringing of the
sure.
team. And I love going to the Coliseum and I joke about peeing in a mm-hmm. trough, there's nothing more magical than going early in the season and seeing the perfect lines on the field,
sure.
and like the groundskeeper, the voice of God, all of the things
yeah.
that are synonymous with the Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah, and that's so that's what I don't want to disparage Sacramento or Sutter Health Park. Like, that place is going to sell out. Sacramento is a great sports city. People say it all the time. It's just a fact. And my hope now is that this stuff in Las Vegas falls through, John Fisher fumbles, and this plan, this grand plan of Vivek Ranadive, either scooping scores or buys the team or whatever it is, if the A's wind up in Sacramento under different ownership than John Fisher, great. Awesome. I'm in there.
Okay.
So I wanted to, and like I said, I was a super bummer yesterday, and I do apologize. As I was driving home, I drive down 80 to 5, and I drive right through the middle there where it's Sutter Health Park on one side and it's Golden 1 on the other.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, the potential there is really, really damn cool.
Especially so, like a brand new stadium on the river with the sight lines. I mean, it could really, really look beautiful. And like, look, it will be a huge economic boon for the city, especially if you can get them long term. Now,
a couple of things.
Like, I know, like, Kyle, you and I were talking. We'll just hijack this first segment here.
Yeah, it's fine. We're going to talk about the Kings the rest of the show.
Yeah, yeah. But like you said, my concern is what will happen if they win 60 games in year one, 60 games in year two, maybe 70. They trade away their best player. And here's how, like, I agree.
Yeah, will the novelty wear off is my question.
I totally get what you're saying. And my response would be this. The Sacramento Kings were horrible. They made the playoffs in 1985-86, but they're a sub 500 team.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went on for 10 years and didn't make the playoffs. And then they made it again in 95-96. And then they fell on hard times again and didn't make it for a couple of years. And then we have the great run. They sold out the stadium completely every single game for 41 games for 19 consecutive years with the worst basketball team, one of the worst basketball teams in the NBA.
Sure.
And I know a lot of people are like, okay, you know, people will be able to come see. I've said it. People will be able to come see the Cubs here. They'll be able to come see the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers.
Sure.
And all of these teams that you want to see, right? But I also think that there's going to be a vibrant Sacramento fan base that was already A's fans who are okay and want to keep the team here are going to have this want to support the team here. And so it always reminds me, Jerry Reynolds has told this story, and it's game one. Right. Well, it's not game one. It's one of the first games.
Okay.
They play, I'm trying to think what game it was, but
game one-ish.
They're playing the Boston Celtics. The Sacramento Kings are playing the Boston Celtics, right? In Arco One, which is only 10,300 something seats.
They're also doing it tonight at TD Garden. We will also discuss that.
Exactly. So what happens is a lot of people, it's their first time to come to a game. So they've come in and they've bought merchandise, right? But they've got that in a bag under their seat, and almost everyone in the building is wearing a Boston Celtics hat because Larry Bird is there. And and so what happens, though, is the Kings don't go away. And the Boston Celtics, 85-86, I mean, this is the best Boston Celtics team that we've seen decades, right? They're incredible. And it just keeps going. The Kings keep hanging around and hanging around and hanging around. And slowly, you see people taking off one hat and putting on the other. And all of a sudden it becomes a Kings crowd and they're cheering their team on. And it's this weird, dramatic moment. And then Larry Bird misses two free throws and the Kings beat them. And Kings fans go nuts. And it's sort of like the moment the Kings became Sacramento Kings. And I think, like, I don't know if it will happen for City of Sacramento the same way, but there is that potential.
Because no doubt.
We talk about them losing and like they're going to be horrible. What if somehow they find like a bunch of rookie guys, a bunch of young guys, and they aren't horrible, and all of a sudden they are good in year two, and all of a sudden they become this team playing in a little ballpark and it's a little engine that could, and the narrative changes, and all of a sudden you can't pull this team out of Sacramento, all that stuff. Like, I think there's potential for that.
And all of a sudden you're optimistic A's fan? Love this for you.
I don't. I'm just saying.
I'm letting I'm gonna let the last 30 years scar me. Still, sorry.
I'm saying though, there is potential for something different to happen because there have been moments where the A's have been to the playoffs.
Well, and to that point, I can't. Well, maybe let's say the Vegas thing works out and they're here for 3 years.
Okay.
Maybe over the course of 27 and 28 or 26 and 27, Fisher and Cavill and that band of people, maybe Vivek has a hand in it. Maybe they start understanding that, hey, you need a team that's over under isn't going to be 65 games in yeah. your first year in Las Vegas. You need something that people are going to actively be excited about. And so maybe over the next couple of years, they don't start trading the Zach Geloffs of the world. And maybe Tyler Soderstrom comes up and is awesome. And maybe Lawrence Butler figures it out. And maybe Esty Ruiz can get out of AAA and start tearing it up. And maybe, like you said, maybe they put together. That's my hope, man. I want this to work out for Sacramento. They were going to leave Oakland. Yesterday was about the suddenness of like, oh, this is it. Like, this is a, oh, wow, okay. But moving forward, okay, what I do when something bothers me is I let it sit with me for a second.
Yep.
And then I borrow from John Mulaney, the comedian, and I put it right here. And then someday I'll die. Like, yeah. That's so the goal now for me, while I would love to see a baseball team in Oakland, the goal now for me is like, hey, hope this Vegas thing falls through and this is it.
Yeah.
Like, this is that's kind of the hope for me now. So
I would love, yeah, man. The ultimate burn would be, what do you do if the Sacramento A's
mm-hmm.
make the postseason
mm-hmm.
and they have home field advantage? What does Major League Baseball do when
yikes.
There's no room for anybody
yikes.
And you have this little tiny stadium?
Yikes.
And what if you make the World Series?
There's a non-zero chance that in that specific scenario, they go play the games in Oakland.
Yeah, wild, right?
There's a very, very real chance of that because it's just the closest like MLB ready ballpark. But you mentioned something about like this small, intimate kind of setting, intimate ballpark. I do think there's something to that. And let's remove the A's and my emotion for a minute.
Yeah.
Let's put a major league team. Like, I've been to a bunch of spring training games. Not yeah. to brag. But if you've been to spring training, you know, man, it's sitting out there. You got a beer. You're sitting on the lawn. It's hot. But, you know, you go stand on the concourse for a minute, maybe grab a snack, and then you're heading back out, and you're sitting. Like, there's something to that could be the novelty of it could be really, really fun. My concern is the John Fisher side of this.
Of course.
And John Fisher pulling the rug out. Okay, hey, you got a bunch of, I'm just going to keep bringing up Zach Geloff. You got a bunch of A's fans in their Esty Ruiz jerseys or Zach Geloff jerseys that they bought. And, oh, now they're gone. And people are subjected to what Oakland fans have been subjected to. I just don't want that, man.
I think that
if they're going to be here, I want it to work.
That's the biggest crime.
For you guys.
That the A's have done to their fan base outside of trying to move the team and all that. But
mm-hmm.
it's to strip your allegiance to players, because that's what baseball is. You want to have your team have a Kirby Puckett
mm-hmm.
who plays his entire career.
Look at why the Giants are so popular, because they had Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey and Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain. And did I say Pablo Sandoval? Those were just the dudes.
Yeah.
They were their guys. That's what you're looking for.
That's always what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And the fact that the A's have killed that, every time mm-hmm. that you've got Hudson Boulder and Zito, they throw it away.
Miguel Tejada.
Yeah.
Matt Chapman, Matt yeah. Olson.
Giambi.
Sean Murphy. Jason Giambi's a great one.
Yeah.
Traded Carlos Gonzalez for Matt Holliday, then got rid of Matt Holliday. Like, yeah. come on.
Yeah. Cargon is long gone. So, Gio Gonzalez.
Oh,
Danny
Josh
Aaron,
Donaldson.
Josh Donaldson. Like, you can just keep going yeah. and going, all these players that they had. Even Matt Chapman playing for the Giants.
Yeah.
Man. And they crush that ability to embrace a player. Yeah, we got to go.
Yep. No doubt. All right, we got to go. Let's talk some Kings. The Kings lost 120 to 109 last night at Madison Square Garden. The Kings missing from that first segment, just like Harrison Barnes was missing last night. We'll get into James Hamm's six quick thoughts coming up next on ESPN 1320 Saturday, Criminal Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, we're back in here. Kings, 109. Oh, I did that the wrong way. Here we go. 3, 2, and 1 from the top. All right, we're back in here. Knicks, 120. Kings, 109 last night at Madison Square Garden. Didn't talk about it a ton in the first segment, so let's talk about it now in the best way we know how with James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has 6 notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts.
6 quick thoughts could be sponsored by you. Hit us up if you would like to sponsor this segment. James Hamm, quick thought number 1 from last night's contest at MSG.
Brought his A game. De'Aaron Fox has been fighting through some scoring issues. I thought he woke up. 29 points, 6 of 12 shooting from 3. 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. I thought he was really good. I thought for some reason the Kings went away with from what was working in the first half, but still I thought he was one of the few bright spots that tried to fight through.
He's at his best when he's getting downhill, getting to that little mid-range. Obviously, you know, hitting 6 threes is helpful, but I think when, to me, he's the level of player that when he's scoring like he did early in that game, you just say, okay, De'Aaron, it's your game.
Yes.
Go get 60. I know it's getting out of the offense. I know it's not the democratic, everybody gets a touch offense. I know it's not the spray three. I know it's not all that, and I know that that's going to be the bread and butter for 82 games or for all the other games, but when De'Aaron's going to cook like he was early in that one, to me, you got to ride it.
Yeah, it's almost like, Kyle, you want to push him out there and say, go have your Madison Square moment. Go ahead. It's fine. We're all going to be here for you. Go have your Madison Square moment. Go win this game.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying yesterday. He's had good games in MSG before. Okay, but go get 50.
Yeah.
Go have your career high at MSG. Get into that pantheon. I again, really, really fine game from De'Aaron. I wish they had ridden him a little more.
I agree.
Number 2.
Respect his shot. Kian Ellis doesn't have the same gravitational pull that Kevin Herter does on the offensive end. But look, this guy can flat out shoot, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's shooting over 40% on the season now.
Mm-hmm.
He was 3 for 4 from long range. He hit his first 3, 11 points, 4 assists. Again, why did you go away from what was working? The Knicks made adjustments. The Kings didn't. Why did that happen?
Super interesting. My only question with Kian Ellis now, I've seen it all in the regular season. When a team in the playoffs over the course of a 7-game series says, hey, we're just going to let you shoot it 15 times from 3.
Do it.
Go ahead and take him. I would love to see how he responds in that scenario because my guess is he would continue shooting. I think he's that type of player.
I think so too.
Number 3.
This should say couldn't miss. Couldn't miss early. Davion Mitchell doesn't play with the same flair as Malik Monk. But look, he's doing his best to fill in. Mm-hmm. And for me, he came out firing in the same way Kian Ellis did.
Mm-hmm.
He again finished with 11 points and 2 boards. But all of those came in the first half, a lot like Kian Ellis. And mm-hmm. we had this thing that was working early. And then they went away from it. And they've got to figure out why. Mm-hmm. And for me, again, Davion Mitchell is doing a bang-up job of trying to replace Malik Monk, and you need to figure out how to like push that idea forward.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Not to say that you need to lean on Davion Mitchell for 15, 16 points a night,
mm-hmm.
but if it's a night where his shot's falling, I think you need to ride it as much as you can.
I agree.
All right, number 4.
Good, not great. Sabonis, he put up his solid numbers. He got his 59th straight double-double. 17 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, but 4 turnovers. And more than the four turnovers, I actually, to be honest with you, I thought it felt like more like 8 turnovers. Mm-hmm. Like, teams are just bunching the middle against him, and it's because you have players that they don't respect on the outside, and you got to find a way around it. And so I think he needs to make some adjustments, but the Kings need him back up at 20-something points per game. They don't need him at, you know, struggling to get to 17, and he needs to find his game.
Yeah, man. 7 of 13 is great. I would love 10 of 17 a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, you know, we talk about this all the freaking time. I understand it's not necessarily his game, but they need to figure out a way to get, he's too efficient to just go, oh yeah, hey, get this tip. And a couple of those field goal attempts were tip-ins.
Yeah.
Or just like easy cuts where he was open and under the basket. I would like to see them feed him more and get him more involved in the offense. That's just, I think as we talk adjustments moving forward, that's something that jumps out to me. 17 points is great. I would like 24 or 25 a lot better.
Yeah, and Kyle, I think the biggest like thing I'll circle here is Sabonis finishes this with 7 assists. He had 5 assists in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happened to the plan? Because they were up 21 in the second quarter. What happened? I know the Knicks' defense is part of the reason.
No doubt.
But where is the next chess move? And I didn't feel like the Kings had it.
No. Number 5.
Foul trouble. I don't know what's going on with Keegan Murray and Tony Brothers, but maybe I thought to myself, maybe Tony Brothers has a beef with like Chris Murray and he doesn't know that this is Keegan Murray. I don't know.
Oh.
Whatever. Like Tony Brothers just like whistle, 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 whistle. Again, Keegan was in foul trouble almost the whole game. He ends up playing 30 something minutes, but he had to play on the defensive end. He played some big time Ole defense because he was worried about picking up another foul. And that's not how you want him playing. He had 18 points, 2 rebounds, but I thought he was limited. And the 2 rebounds thing is not going to cut it.
No.
Not at all.
I think he's still at a stage of his career where when he gets in foul trouble early, you're just going to kind of see it impact his entire game.
Yeah.
And I did like Mike Brown rolling him out to start the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Saying like, hey, we need Keegan Murray on the court.
Yep.
We need his scoring on the court. And I like that he did that despite Keegan having 5 fouls. But yeah. I don't know. It felt like Keegan Murray was getting a whistle, like a first half of the season whistle.
Yeah, or like a rookie whistle.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to complain about the refs. There's a million other things the Kings could have done differently last night to perform better in that game. But I didn't think Keegan was out there just hacking everybody.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, that and
It's okay. Moving on, number 6.
Yeah. No. Well, I would just say the free throw disparity where the Knicks shot 29 and the Kings shot 12. I'm just going to point to the 18 for 42 from 3 for the Kings,
mm-hmm.
Compared to the 28 3-point attempts that the Knicks shot.
Yeah, and it's Jalen Brunson driving, Josh Hart driving. They're just driving, relentless driving, getting
and the Kings
into
settled.
Yep.
The Kings settled.
Yep. No doubt. Number 6.
The vanishing. With Malik Monk out, the Kings need everyone to step up. That includes Harrison Barnes, who had a completely forgettable second straight
brutal
game.
Dude.
Kyle, he had more turnovers than points, rebounds, and assists combined.
What are we... I don't want to...
Combined.
That's not good. It's not great. I don't know, man. I just, like...
It's not great when Josh Hart...
This dude's played in finals games. What is it? What is it? I don't know. This has been an ongoing thing this season. I said it before the year. To expect some kind of leap or to expect Harrison Barnes at this stage of his career to be a different player than he's ever been, it was unrealistic. So maybe that's on us, maybe it's on me. But I genuinely thought, like, all right, hey, Malik Monk out there. Harrison can get after it now. Doesn't have to feel like he's this fourth or fifth option, just standing in the corner, he can go. And now this is 2 games in a row where he's just doing cardio.
Dude, he took 2 shots.
Took 2 shots, 15 minutes.
And not only that,
an NBA starter.
But, like, people say, well, what was Mike Brown doing? Mike Brown saw the same thing we did, said, no, I'm not leaving you out there.
Right.
Pulled him, put him back in the fourth quarter. What was the first thing he did, Kyle? Because I got a text from you. First thing he did was,
yes,
like fumbled the ball and lost it out of it. You're like, what just happened? What are you like? You just
I believe. I'm not gonna read the text.
It's all right.
It's kind of mean. It's just a sports fan.
Yeah,
thing. I don't actually have anything against Harrison Barnes. He's a great dude. It's a sports fan thing. I will note as a positive for HB here, the only Kings starter who ran a plus minus. Plus one. Domas, minus 25. Who had a better night?
And that's why plus minus is a bad stat.
Look, I'm just... Did Domas have 17 and 11 and 7? Yes. Did Harrison Barnes have... 0-1-0 with three turnovers? Yes. But let's check plus minus. Let's peep the plus minus on those guys.
One
and
is
you
a
tell
negative
me
25.
Who had a better night.
One is a plus one. One is a negative 25. Who did it better? Wild.
I'm just saying, it's not me. Look at the numbers.
Figures don't lie. Liars figure.
All right. We'll continue talking about last night's game. We also got a game tonight to talk about against the best team in the NBA this year. A couple of injury notes coming up for you. We'll get to matchup of the game, and we will dive into whether this is the year for the Celtics. It might be. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320. Sacramento's sports leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Tough loss for the Kings last night against the New York Knicks, but they don't get to think about it for very long. They are back in action tonight against the Boston Celtics at TD Garden. What is it called?
I think it's TD Garden.
TD Garden.
Sure. I don't know.
The parquet, we just call it the parquet floor.
The garden.
The garden. At the other garden. Back-to-back gardens.
Yeah.
For the Kings. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. And turning the page on last night's game a little bit to talk about tonight's game against the Celtics. The Boston Celtics are 60-16.
They good, Kyle.
They are 12-2 in their last 14. If you go look at net rating right now in the NBA, that is offensive rating minus defensive rating. What are the Kings right now? What are the Kings net in net rating?
You know,
I'm checking right now.
I have post All-Star pulled up, but
no, here we go. Kings for the season, a 1.3 net rating. What are they post All-Star break?
I just changed.
Oh boy,
A four. They were like a four.
Okay, but to give you, Boston is a 12
on the
they
season.
They are outscoring opponents per 100 possessions, so about a game's worth of possessions, by 12.
Their offensive rating is 122.6. If everyone remembers last season, the Kings set the all-time record at 119.2, 118 point something.
Since the All-Star break, their offensive rating, 127.5.
What?
With a 110.6 defensive rating, a 16.9 net rating. That is, let me see, quick
that
math.
That is stunning.
That is 8.2 points higher than the Nuggets, who are number two since the All-Star break in net rating.
That is incredible.
That is the space between the Celtics and the Nuggets. This is my favorite thing to do. Is the same as the space between the number two Nuggets and the number 18 or so Clippers. The Celtics are just so much better than everybody else.
They are. Okay, so last season, the Sacramento Kings set the all-time record for offensive rating at 118.6. They're going to beat it by 4 points.
They're going to crush it.
That's absolutely incredible.
It's outrageous how good they are, dude.
Yeah.
And it's... What was the Kings last year? 118.6?
118.6, which would be third this season.
Yeah.
That's
come down a lot. There were like eight teams with higher offensive ratings than 118.6 at one point.
But the league did not have anything to do with
the kibosh on it.
No more points for you.
Some good news for the Kings here as they go into Boston on the second night of a back-to-back.
Is it, Kyle?
Well, that's such brutal scheduling. You know what? Honestly, though, I will take this. If you're going to have a schedule loss, have it be to a team that was probably going to beat you anyway.
Of course. Like I agree 100%, but what you don't want that to be is in the last eight games of the season.
No doubt.
I mean, that's the problem. In the last six games of the season.
Total. Like, brutal road trip.
Yeah.
No Jaylen Brown tonight. No Jaden Springer tonight. No Derek White tonight for the Boston Celtics. That is according to Keith Smith of Spotrac. Also covers the Celtics a little bit. He's plugged in with the Celtics. I don't know if he covers them on a day-to-day basis anymore, but he's plugged in with the Celtics. Those three players out tonight for the Kings. We can get into matchups and stuff in a second. This is a weird year because the Celtics, we just laid out all the numbers, are just so much better than everybody else. But because of their shortcomings in the playoffs over the last 3 or 4 years, I don't think anyone really takes it seriously. It's how let me rephrase that. I don't think people have gotten their arms around it really, just how dominant the Celtics have been this year. Because it's the same thing with the Nuggets last year. The Nuggets were clearly the best team in the league. But once the dust settled, it was like, yeah, of course. But for me, it was hard because you're going, man, this team's never done it. This team's never made a real run outside of the bubble year. They've not made that deep playoff run. I got to see it first. And then they went out and did it.
Mm-hmm.
But this Celtics team is just so much better than everybody else. They should be the runaway favorite to be the NBA champions. But I sit here and I look and I go, all right, Sixers got Embiid back. Maybe Milwaukee figures it out in the playoffs. Can the Heat give them a series? Like they should walk through the East. They're so much better than every other team in the NBA.
I think they are going to walk through the East. I think they are going to represent the East in the finals, and I think that there's a very good chance they're going to win the NBA championship.
Yeah.
This team is so incredibly deep, and we talk about, like, no Derek White tonight, but that doesn't mean that Peyton Pritchard isn't going to bust the Kings up like he has in the past.
Sure.
You know, no Jaylen Brown, but that opens a door for Sam Hauser, who just knocks down 43.8% on 5.7 attempts per game.
It is
off
outrageous.
The bench.
It is outrageous. Every ball he throws at the rim goes in.
Oh, yeah.
Totally outrageous.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at their rotation, 38% from Tatum, 35.8% from three from Jaylen Brown. Jrue Holiday shooting 43.3. Derek White, 40. Kristaps Porzingis, 37. Horford, 42.3. Peyton Pritchard, 37.7. And then Sam Hauser. Your top eight are just knockdown shooters, all of them. And so this is a tough matchup, and I don't know how the Kings go into this game, even if they are shorthanded, like with a ton of confidence, because this is a system team, and it's a share-the-wealth system team like the Kings are. Mm-hmm. They just have more pieces than the Kings do.
They just have more wealth.
They do.
And you know what's crazy about the Celtics is you mentioned Jason Tatum, who's an MVP candidate, also very good defender. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown, very good defender. Jrue Holiday, very good defender. Derek White. All of these dudes also play defense.
Yes.
They are just such a well-rounded, really good team. And I think, you know, I think the Kings probably look at the Nuggets often as the team they're kind of trying to emulate, mm-hmm. just stylistically, in the way the Sabonis and Jokic thing, and the De'Aaron Fox and Jamal Murray and that two-man game, and can you get that going? I understand all that. But to me, the Celtics are just the gold standard for team building in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is what the way they've built their team is around two wings, where
yeah, it's a good point.
The Kings and of course the Nuggets mm-hmm. have built their team around a big man mm-hmm. and a guard.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that that's just like there are two ways to build a team, but mm-hmm. you know, you can't look at, you know, Tatum and Brown are both top five picks.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, this team is packed with high end talent.
Just and, so loaded.
Yeah, and Kristaps Porzingis, top five pick, and you know, I didn't think Porzingis would work there, and I always worry about him, like, because he never stays healthy. He's only played 54 games this mm-hmm. season, but he's just been really good for them, and he makes like the matchup against Sabonis really difficult. And mm-hmm. you're talking about a dude who's like well over 7 foot tall, who blocks a bunch of shots, and who doesn't. He doesn't leave his feet and do a bunch of silly stuff.
Yeah,
he's actually going to be very difficult. Then he's going to draw Sabonis outside and he's going to shoot a bunch of threes.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots five threes a game. That's a problem. And so
he knocks him down too.
Yeah. And then when they're not doing that, they're going to bring in Al Horford, who is the exact type of player that Sabonis struggles with. So mm-hmm. I don't expect Sabonis to have a huge game in this. And so who is going to? And how yeah. are you going to get loose? I think not having Derek White, not having Jaylen Brown, that helps you because mm-hmm. you know someone's going to have to defend De'Aaron Fox,
mm-hmm.
but they have Jrue Holiday, and so like everywhere you look, they got an answer, and you're
it's
like, okay,
crazy dude.
Yeah,
their biggest issue is crunch time because it's Jason Tatum with the ball in his hands, Jaylen Brown with the ball in his hands, your turn, my turn, and it just doesn't work for them. But man, it's so rare they get to crunch time.
Yeah.
But it just kind of smoke everybody.
They do just kind of smoke everybody, and it's over early.
Yeah, man. Just super impressed with the Celtics this year. They are unbelievable. Even with Derek White out, even with Jaylen Brown out, like you said, they just kind of have answers for everything. Mike Brown talked a while back about the value of losing from a learning standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say the Kings are going to lose tonight. They could, given the way this team goes this year, maybe they go into Boston and win.
Yep.
Boston recently lost to the Hawks twice, including smoking a 30-point lead when the Hawks didn't have Trae Young. Mm-hmm. So it's on the table, right? But even if they do lose this game, the Celtics are a very good team from a coaching standpoint, from a personnel standpoint, as we've just laid out. I think you can learn a lot about how teams might try and defend you come playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll be able to work off of this tape, both good and bad, when it comes to playing in a play-in game or in a playoff series.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is like the gold standard of the league, and this is how you have to come in there with a specific style and quality of play. If you mess around like you did against the Knicks, you're going to get clubbed by 30. And yep. you could not mess around, and you could play a good game and still lose by 30.
Yeah.
And that's the reality, but the mm-hmm. Kings don't have any more games that they can lose. This is like, you put yourself in a bad situation. This is why you don't lose to the Wizards a week and a half ago.
That's it. That's exactly what it is. All right, we got plenty more Kings-Celtics coming up. We'll give you we'll have keys to victory. The Kings get a W against a team as good as the Celtics. Plenty more hoops coming up on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. All right, there we go. And we're back.
We're back.
Kings play tonight against the Celtics. They played last night against the Knicks.
Yeah, I think...
Jesus. All right.
I think it brings us to like... Like, we have a couple of topics here we can discuss.
Kyle. Please, help me.
We've been sitting here for a while, sitting on this exact topic, and for me, it's the Keon Ellis question. And we watched Keon Ellis come out last night against the Knicks, and boom, 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 starts hitting three-point shots, and you're just like, okay, like, mm-hmm. that's who the Kings need, right? And then you see Keon Ellis go out, and he plays defense, and... Yeah, he's chirping at everybody. He's, you know, he's a guy who's never fouled anyone, always has a shocked look on his face every time he's whistled. But still, it's a defensive intensity that the Kings need. And I think it brings us to a bigger question about, like, what is this audition for Keegan Murray, I mean, for Keon Ellis, what does it mean? What does it mean for the Kings going forward? And is he answering one of the questions that we've been asking the whole time? Like, what are they going to do this offseason?
It feels like for this iteration of the Kings, he has cemented himself as a starter.
I don't disagree.
On this iteration. Now, the question becomes, if they add a... I'm just going to bear with me here. If they go add a Paul George or something like that, where does Keon best fit in that lineup? And I think what he's shown over the course of the last couple of weeks, I think what he's shown is that he can kind of fit wherever. There's nights, hey, you need him to shoot it a few times, you feel good about that. Hey, he's going to always play defense. He's switchable enough that you feel good about him pretty much 1 through 3 for the most part, maybe some 4s depending, but mostly 1 through 3 you feel good about him. So I think he's kind of lineup proof. Now, is there a improved version of the Kings roster where maybe he's like a super sub kind of guy? Maybe. But I think for right now, going into next year, I don't know that there's a path to building a team where Keon Ellis is not starting.
Yeah, I think you're right, Kyle. So here's how you talk about the next iteration of the Kings. Mm-hmm. I think you have to leave a door open, right? So the Kings have to improve. We all understand that. Like the roster has to improve.
Yes.
And what you want to do is, you know right now, without any question, that De'Aaron Fox is your starting point guard and that Domantas Sabonis is your starting center. After that, it gets a little murky. You know that Keegan Murray is going to start at one of the two forward spots going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you improve the team? You can improve the team at the 2. You can improve the team at the 3. Or you can improve the team at the 4. Now, you probably need to improve the team at all of those positions just because that's the way the game is.
Sure.
But the fact is, if you're going to go chase like a frontline guy, you have this opportunity because of Keegan's versatility that you can replace one or two of these positions, and that's kind of, you know, where you're going to attack. So what I'm going to say is, like, look, if a crazy frontline shooting guard becomes available, you don't pass on that because you've got Keegan Murray. I mean, because you've got Keon Ellis. I'm sorry, Keon Ellis. You don't pass on that player because of that. But I also think that if you're going to design your team after the Denver Nuggets, like we've talked about, right? Mm-hmm. If that's how we're designing this team, I think he can be a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Interesting.
And I think so too. I think that's who Keon Ellis is. He's that type of player. Maybe a little different, a little more... Well, not as strong, but a little more versatile in his ability to defend ones and twos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's a good thing. But is that off the bench or is that as a starter? Do you lose Malik Monk? Do you not lose Malik Monk? Like, mm-hmm. how is this team going to be built going forward?
I think you would have to be really, really good to supplant Keon Ellis as a starter.
Okay.
Like, we talk about the next version of the Kings. I don't think the upgrade is going to necessarily be there unless, you know, they fall backwards into one via the draft or somebody undrafted who comes in and just tears it up. I don't think that upgrade is necessarily going to be there where we're sitting here in August and we're going, all right, hey, well, Keon's coming off the bench. I don't think that is there this year. I think what Keon Ellis has done has proven that he can play alongside De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
He works alongside Keegan Murray and with Domantas Sabonis. And that's all you need. If he is your 5th scoring option, you're in a really, really good spot. I think to remove him and what he gives you defensively and the energy he brings, to remove him from that starting unit at this point would require a major upgrade. And I don't necessarily think that major upgrade is there.
Well, that, and I also, from what I'm gathering, you don't believe that that Kevin Huerter is that major upgrade. Because Kevin Huerter is under contract for 2 years, and he's been your starting shooting guard for the last 2 years.
I would have a hard time going into next year after the way Keon Ellis has played and the metrics that they're surely looking at since he's come into the lineup. The offense hasn't tanked. Their defense has dramatically improved. Now, they'll have to weigh how much of that has been the NBA's officiating changes and this and that. But I think that a lot of it has to do with Keon Ellis and just kind of the energy that he brings and the switchability he brings and the matchup problems he creates for teams where they can't just say, all right, we're going to switch Jalen Brunson on to Kevin Huerter and here's 50 from Brunson. Like, that's just not a thing that they can go do. So I think you'd have a really, really hard time putting Kevin Huerter back in the starting lineup if it's me. And maybe that means that you're moving Huerter even if you don't want to. Because if the Kings come to him and say, like, hey, you're going to come off the bench, and he's like, well, then I don't want to do that. He could start somewhere. It may be for this team. Maybe the Kings like him more than they like Keon and think that Keon off the bench is a better option. Mike Brown certainly did before Kevin Huerter got hurt.
Yeah.
But I personally would have a really difficult time right now being like, oh yeah, no, Kevin Huerter, once he's healthy, is just back in there.
Okay, so here's, I mean, it's really tough because I know people are like, oh, you're overvaluing Keon Ellis, or oh, like the comparison with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's such a more refined player. Yeah, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's been in the league for a decade. Like, I'm not saying he's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope today, but that type of player. I mean, there have been multiple seasons, including this year and last year, where he averaged, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 10 points, 10.8 points. He had a 9.7. He had a 9.3 points per game, an 11.4. Like, we're not talking about him being the next, like, 16 to 18 point per game scorer at the shooting guard spot.
No, he's going to play good defense, and you worry about him in the corner.
He's a 3-and-D shooting guard. That's what I'm talking about. Keon Ellis is also 23 years old, and in his really his first official NBA. He hasn't even played 82 games yet.
Yeah.
I don't know how many games he's played, but I guarantee you it's not 82 yet. I don't think. Maybe it's close, but like, look,
our fact checkers are on it.
Yeah, this is one of those things where like you have to give him an opportunity to grow into who he's going to be, but I think he's 67 games. I think the Kings have found
67.
Yeah, a diamond in the rough. And so like, look, the Kings need major upgrades, but I think having Keon Ellis gives you the opportunity to go attack other positions that are more positions of need at this point.
Yeah, man, I'm with you, and this is not to say they have a Hall of Famer on their hands here or something. It's just what this team needs, how they fit. We talked about this the other day. Keon Ellis is not a better player than Kevin Huerter.
Yeah.
If there was a draft of all the NBA players, Kevin Huerter would go before Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at what the Kings need specifically to pair with, that they have hitched their wagon to the De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis pairing. Keegan Murray is a player that fits around those two players. That's why they drafted him and not Jaden Ivey. He fits better what they need with those two players anchoring their lineup. Keon Ellis, to me, fits better for what they need to be, and again, this is to level up. This is to become a better team. It's not that Kevin Huerter is bad. We saw it last year. They set records offensively with Kevin Huerter. They made the playoffs for the first time in 16 years with Kevin Huerter starting at shooting guard. He is a starting caliber NBA shooting guard, no doubt. Like, flat out, point blank, period. But maybe he's a starting caliber shooting guard on a team that can hide him a little better defensively, who doesn't need follow me here. Domantas Sabonis is not a rim protector. We all know it.
Yep.
And it makes his life more difficult when you have your starting shooting guard who's getting blown by defensively.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of where it is at this point.
Well, that, and like, look, if you look around the league and the best teams, right? Just look at all of the best teams. So if we look at Minnesota, right, who's number one right now in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a player like Keon Ellis who's a couple of years ahead of Keon Ellis, but who is kind of what we're talking about in Jaden McDaniels.
He's also 6'9".
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about the shooting guard version because in your starting lineup, you need these players, right? And when you talk about Denver, they have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You talk about OKC, they have Lu Dort. You talk about the Clippers, they have Terrence Mann. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about that guy. Even if you look at, you know, like the Milwaukee Bucks have always had somebody like this, always. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to put it on like Bobby Portis, but they've always had like the defensive guys. And right now it's Jay Crowder, right? You bring Jay Crowder in when you need him. And it's kind of like around the league, that's, you have to have these types of guys.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have a bunch of scorers. And the second you change sort of the complexity, for the Knicks, it's Josh Hart, who does so much more. Kings fans look at Josh Hart, they're like, man, that guy's a walking triple-double because he destroys you every time.
Sure. Right?
But against normal teams, that's not what he does. He's just a really, really solid player who fills all the roles and does all the dirty yep. work. That's what the Kings need. And so for me, I really, like, we can look at the Miami Heat. Their entire team is literally, like,
just dirty work guys.
Different versions of Keon Ellis.
Heat culture, baby.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's how they're built.
Is Jimmy Butler the Michael Jordan of Keon Ellis's?
Oh, see, now you're talking.
I think he might be.
I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah, no, I'm there, man. I think that Keon is a starter next year. And I think unless there is a massive two-way upgrade, like Zach LaVine is not it. Inserting Malik Monk into the starting lineup is not it. Keon Ellis, to me, is your starting two guard next year. And to me, I'd feel really, really good about that, given that he will now have a full offseason as a, hey, you're going to be the dude. And given his mindset on the court, I have a hard time believing he wouldn't attack that in the offseason in a way that allows him to come back better next year.
Yeah, not only are you going to be the dude, but we're going to bump you up. And now, you know, like, he's worked with different player development coaches along the way. Like, maybe he gets an offseason with Leandro Barbosa. Maybe he gets an offseason with Doug Christie. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the next step where you're working with the guys who actually did it on the court at the NBA level, who can teach you the tricks of the trade and all that stuff. And so I think it's definitely a possibility where that's what Davion did two summers ago. He worked a lot with Doug. This last summer, Doug worked with Domantas. But, like, if you bump up into the starting lineup, you might get one of these other coaches that are and this isn't to disparage the guys that are bringing these guys along, but now you're talking about an NBA version of the coach that is on the floor with you, teaching you, again, finer nuances of what this means at the NBA level and how we work through this.
Right. How to draw contact, how to avoid it when offensive players do try and draw contact, all these, like, little tiny things that come along with being a really effective NBA player. Yeah, I think Keon's there. I'd be pretty surprised if he's not. And we will, the Kevin Herter stuff, Harrison Barnes, etc., Davion, those conversations will all continue into the offseason. But for now, we're in a season. We got play-in to talk about. We got playoffs to talk about. In fact, speaking of the play-in, we've been worried about how do they climb up to the sixth seed. We got a new thing to worry about. We'll tell you what it is next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.